All right, welcome to another episode, edition, whatever you want to call it, of Green Legion Radio. This, and I screwed up. Hold on. Wait, I like this song. Can we just let this go?
Yeah, we can.
All right. A little Highway to Hell?
Yeah.
Because we're all going down that road anyway.
Yeah, might as well get ready.
Might as well stick with it. All right. I can't even turn it off.
Let's do it. Let's do it expeditiously.
It might have just meant to be.
I was trying to put on a little Soulja Boy before we went. Everybody, this is the official O-Line Body Stigma episode. And we're trying to get Facebook Live working right now because in tribute of what the Eagles offensive line did, everybody in studio right now is naked. Everybody in studio is naked right now.
I feel a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm well, next to you three, I'm feeling really uncomfortable. Not going to lie. You and your mom and dad and the rest of your genetics can all go fuck yourself. So we're all naked here. This is all for charity. And we're going to try to get the Facebook Live feed running. And as soon as we can, we are covered on our private parts, but this is a tribute to the Eagles O-line.
Have a newfound respect.
Yeah. I have never done a show naked. everybody, subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play by searching for Green Legion Radio. This will put every single one of our episodes automatically uploaded into your account. We are now number 59, baby. We hit 59 top sports podcasts on iTunes. This week, so we're pretty excited about that. You can also remember, besides listening to us live, which you're doing right now on Green Legion, greenlegion.com, you can listen to us on TuneIn Radio by searching for Green Legion Radio. Everything is we're poised, we're ready to go,
ready.
And our next show will be Tuesday at 6 p.m. live. From Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia. We are pumped about that. We've got an amazing cast of degenerates that are going to be there. Myself, Pops,
yes, sir.
Rex, Diaz, Hollis, Dave Spadaro, Rob Valivas, a current player. I think Chris Sack's going to make it down. I don't have enough plugins on my mixer for all the voices. So we're going to play a little musical chairs down there. But we had our meeting, our ops meeting with them today. Everything is great. Sean can't thank you enough. Roger can't thank you enough. Pete can't thank you enough. Dave can't thank you enough. From all of us here, we again appreciate what you're doing and giving us an opportunity to showcase what we've built and what we are really starting to find out people like. And there's humor involved here, and there's some knowledge, and the combination seems to be working. So again, appreciate that. My panel, real quick, Pops, in charge of outside influence,
that should be awesome.
Which means when you guys come down and visit us at Chickies and Pete's on Tuesday, if you have a question for the panel, Pops will be walking around with the cordless microphone, and you can ask away. Have at it. What do you want to know? What do you want to ask Hollis? What do you want to ask Dave Spadaro? What do you want to ask the current player, which we will reveal at 5 o'clock every Friday, so you know who's actually coming in.
That's right.
Yeah. Next to him, in charge of security and making sure that the big guys don't get hassled. Isn't it great? You're the smallest guy in that row.
I am.
In a lot of ways. Again, we got to get the Facebook Live page up.
Security.
Rex, when are you getting on a boat again?
I don't know. It'll be either early October or after Thanksgiving.
I
could decide.
Okay.
We can talk about that after the show.
After the show. All right. He just got a little upset.
With more details.
A little teary-eyed. He just got a little teary-eyed. And number 78 in your programs, number one in your hearts, Mr. Hollis Tank Thomas. What's up, baby?
Yeah, good evening. How you guys doing?
Excellent. Yeah, you're in charge of absolutely nothing except what happened today in history, but we'll get to that in a minute. Again, every episode is brought to you by friends at Miller Lite, Stateside Vodka, Workhorse Brewing Company, Rivers Casino, Bucks County Baseball Company, David Dodge Chrysler Jeep, Cavs restaurants all over the city, Delilah's, Bourbon Blue, The Bayou, Cactus, the Manioc Sport and Social Club, all City Fitness Philadelphia locations, Northern Liberties Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fishtown, Logan Square, and East Market, Somo Sophie, That's in South Philadelphia. Our good friends at Fourth and John. Having fun with these guys. And Sean Brayson, Philly influencer and the gambler, 102.5. In case you guys didn't know, I was in there with him earlier today for about a half hour. Fun segment. He's got a lot of energy, and we're going to talk a little bit about this this week coming up, because 10-point favorite, man, that scares me.
Yeah. Remember, that's what I was talking about when I was giving you subjects.
Oh, okay.
Topics, yeah.
All right. And once again, our biggest sponsor right now, our good friends at Chickies and Pete's, Pete, Roger, Sean, everybody, we appreciate it.
Much love.
What's that? Lots of love.
Lots of love.
Oh, my God. You guys want hugs from the Thomas family, you can get about 750, 800 pounds worth of love.
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, I would. I would.
It's up there, yeah.
That's right. That's
don't worry. If we need, I'll just put a finger on a shoulder. We'll get that tail, that scale to tip.
Yeah.
Big dog.
Today is September the 4th. It's the 247th day of the year. That's 118 days left. I want to start out because what we're doing right now is representing people with the news. So I'm going to go back to 1833 when the very first newsboy. You remember the news?
Is that anything like Soulja Boy?
No.
You said newsboy.
Well,
boom!
Newsboy means the guy. Remember the little kid who used to be on the corner saying,
"This is all sounding bad, bro."
Well, no, he's standing.
None of this sounds like you're going anywhere
with the newspaper
than Superman and that
extra,
hoe.
Extra, read all about it.
Extra, read all about it.
XXX. You said it again. You can't get away from it.
Well, so his name, the first one was Barney Flannery at 10 years old for New York Sun Times in 1833.
Soulja Boy, in it, oh, watch it, Soulja Boy, Superman.
And that takes us to 1888, when George Edmund, he patents the first roll of film.
All right.
First roll of film, which later on became Kodak.
I got a Kodak Polaroid sent to me by StubHub for all the money I spent.
Woo.
$500,000, thanks. I got a goddamn camera.
And we also have William Wilmsley and William Lyons.
I hope you get through that.
They officially founded the Swallow Sidecar Company today.
See? I'm telling you.
But you know what?
You just can't get away from it.
The Swallow Side Company ended up being Jaguar.
Ooh.
All right. In 1922. We skipped to 1972 when The Price is Right debuted on CBS.
Bob
Barker.
Love that.
The price is wrong.
Where is it? Why do I not have that queued up?
Go to 1988 when they were the St. Louis Cardinals. They played their very first regular season game in Phoenix as the Phoenix Cardinals to get their asses handed to them by the Bengals 24-14.
Yeah.
that was, as a kid, we grew up the Big Red and the Red Birds. So,
you're doing it again.
I'm doing it again. You know,
Redbird.
The Redbirds. Yeah, you know.
I got a meeting for that too.
In 2002, this goes for the other night. I don't know if you guys saw the game the other night where somebody let Washington come back six runs down in about.
Yes,
you remember that? That was awesome. Now in 2002, after blowing an 11-run lead, the Oakland A's had a walk-off ninth inning home run. That ended in what was a Major League Baseball record of their 20th straight victory.
Wow.
We got a couple of birthdays here real quick.
All right.
We have 1918, Paul Harvey. I don't know if you remember Paul Harvey,
no.
The announcer. He was an announcer. He was one of those guys. He had the voice. I should be done. Yeah. The rest of the birthdays then. We go to 1919, Lawrence Hilton Jacobs.
Hold on. You want to try again?
Yeah.
All right, go.
1953. Lawrence Hilton Jacobs. You know Lawrence Hilton Jacobs?
No.
Coaches from Cooley High Harmony.
Oh.
Joe Jackson.
From
the movie.
Oh.
He played Joe Jackson in the movie.
Oh.
And also he played
Fred. That was Jackson Brown anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry. Then Joe Jackson was
Lawrence Hilton.
Is she really going out with him? Right?
No. Oh. Joe Jackson. Michael Jackson, him dad.
Oh.
In the Jackson movie.
I thought you were talking Shoeless.
Oh, no. Then they get Welcome. He played Freddie in Welcome Back, Carter.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I'm going to go to 1980 because it's Pat Neshek's birthday. Nobody beats the Shaq. And in 1981, Beyoncé Knowles.
Oh, okay.
Today's holidays.
Her 37th birthday.
Yep. Eat extra. Today's holidays.
Who's the hot chick?
Eat an extra dessert. Oh, yeah. I know who that is. Global Talent Acquisition Day. Wildlife Day. Macadamia Nut Day.
And okay, and Macadamia, day. We're done the second day.
We're done now.
Wait, it's her 38th birthday, right?
Yeah, she said it's her 38th
birthday.
It was
37.
No, 38.
38. Is it, she's 181.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'd still hit it. So,
you and me both. Oh, no, also, by the way, real quick, that was the Mets that gave up their seven runs.
Yeah.
That was last night.
That was last night to
the Nationals.
Yeah.
I was busy last night.
I know.
Colombian.
we'll speak more. We'll speak more.
Colombian leaving.
Superman.
Birthday. Superman at home.
You.
You. Chris Sack on the phone, our official Phillies correspondent. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. Ray Liotta was the one that played Shoeless Joe, by the way, Quimby.
Oh, okay.
No. I was trying to when he said Joe Jackson, I wasn't thinking of baseball. I was thinking of songs.
Yeah, I'm thinking Joe Jackson.
I thought you meant Shoeless Joe.
Oh, that Joe Jackson. Oh,
is she really? Is she really going out with him? Is she really going to take her home tonight?
What the hell are y'all talking about?
It's white people music. You wouldn't know anything about it.
Hold on, Something about Mary. There's something about Mary.
Yeah.
When she first was going out with Matt Dillon. My bad.
Yeah.
Is she really going out with him?
Sack.
Yes.
What do you got for us this week, baby? I as of right now, you do know that the Phillies are only two games out of the second wild card spot.
He's starting to sound like a fucking broken record.
God. I just
know. If you notice, I am doing that and looking directly at Tank.
Because they do this shit to us
just to piss you off.
I know.
Just hit a home run.
No, did he just hit a home run?
You know, I had some fun with that last night, Quimby, because I was going to bed after the Phillies won, and I was like, yeah, let me check the Cubs score. So check the Cubs score; they're up 5-0. So I'm like, all right, let me check the Cardinals score, and then you know they were winning, and I was like, they won, and then I was like, well, they're 3.5 ahead of the Cubs, so it makes us 6 games behind them. So why the hell am I even checking their score?
Exactly.
Let me check the Mets score. Someone else has to be as miserable as us, right?
Thank you.
So it's 10-8. And there's one out, and there's two runners on, and I'm just following this. It's on my GameCast on my phone. So the next thing I know, it freezes up, and it's one of those things where it's either a double play or it's a home run, and I walk off by Kurt Suzuki. I was like, man, it can only be so sweet when they are as miserable as we are.
Misery loves company.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. All right, brother, what do you got for us this week? What have we seen since last week? What's going on? It's September 4th now. We have... Five series left?
Five.
Five?
I think it's like 20-some games.
Yeah. Is there...
Well, you know, it's the continued inconsistency, Quinn. I mean, you know, last Wednesday night when I left you guys, we were smoking the Pirates.
Right, yeah.
And then, you know, then we had an off day on Thursday. And then we have a 1-0 lead on Friday night. And then the next thing you know, you go and you take a piss and you're down 11-1.
Yeah.
You know, and then the next day, you know, you have Vargas on the hill, and they wind up having an error by Segura. And it's just like, and then all of a sudden they went
so
three.
I'm so happy that we had Vargas, and we got Vargas from the Mets. I mean, he's just been great.
Yeah.
He waves back when everybody gets ahead.
Not really. He sucks. He's kind of stinking up the joint.
No, I'm kidding. Keep going, brother.
He still has fantastic hair.
He does.
He does have a luscious mane.
But if we're gonna talk about a luscious mane, why don't we talk about the one bright spot pretty much over the last month, the last calendar month, outside of Real Muto, which we touched on last week, Bryce Harper.
Yep.
This week he's exceeded 30 home runs and 100 RBIs. First Philly to do that since Ryan Howard in 2011. First Philly's outfielder to do that since Pat Burrell in 2005. First Philly's right fielder to do that since Bobby Abreu did it in 2004. He's one of four Phillies in the last 85 years that have a run and a hit in 10-plus games in a row. The others, Mike Schmidt, Jimmy Torino, and Bobby Abreu. And he's on pace to score over 100 runs, walk over 100 times, drive in 115-plus RBI, and hit anywhere between 35 and 40 home runs. Overrated? I think not.
Awesome. And you know what? You know what else is great? The only real leadoff hitter in the lineup just went out with an injury.
Yep. I don't know if you're watching it.
Dickerson just pulled something on his way to first.
Yeah, he looked like he short-stepped.
Got ankle.
man.
It's either that or he hyperextended something.
Awesome sauce.
That's not so about this.
Not so awesome sauce.
Hey,
awesome Ben Gay.
Just flex all 3, 4, 5.
My bad.
Awesome sauce. Yeah, so tell me, Chris, as you've been looking for the misery, I personally know that the only way that we could get this is if we continue to win and some other teams lose. Yeah. That I don't see that. I personally don't see that.
All right, Captain
what about
Obvious.
You? What about you? No, because I get sick. I get sick of everybody keep on coming at me with that.
Well, Hollis, have you seen the fan graphs? It's funny because the Phillies, according to fan graphs, have a 5% chance to make the postseason. But the teams behind them, the Brewers, the Mets, and the Diamondbacks,
all have better.
They also have a better percentage chance to make it than we do.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's not crazy if you look at the way we've been playing. We've been like one of the most inconsistent clubs in MLB, but we have the bats to do it. But I don't think we have the manager to do it. This was one last question I had you. If you're a manager and you know your bullpen stinks, but should you know how to deploy them? If you know they stink, but you know you can get something out of them, because some nights they're great. Tell me what you would do with that. If you had 100 plus games and you were the manager, how would you do this?
Well, they were a big part of last night. Now let's take a look at the bullpen, and if we're going to talk about how to deploy it, a lot of things have gone wrong with the bullpen.
Right.
I think pretty much everybody that started in this bullpen at the beginning of the year is now gone outside of Hector Neris.
Correct.
So right now he's going to a gunfight with a knife. That's what he has in the bullpen. Now, they pitched well last night, and Velasquez, wow, 5-4. All right, cool. Here we go.
Home run. Here we
JT.
Go. JT Realmuto.
So, yes. Nice. Yes, sir. But so the bullpen is piecemeal right now,
okay,
and he has to do what he can with it. That's the one area where I have to give him kind of a little bit of a break is how the bullpen has been constructed by Matt Klentak. Right. That right there is on him, not on the manager. And that's the one area where I will actually give Gabe credit.
But if do you still give him that break even when he goes to them and he knows they stink, when he's got a starting pitcher with a low pitch count and he's doing awesome?
Just in general, when you see things going on
and we have a starter, he's going and he pulls the starter for a minuscule run that we're probably not going to get because it's two outs and he's going to put a bomb up there to hit.
Yeah, well, you got to look at it. So, okay, we want to look at Sunday night. At least they gave up the lead in that game and they came back and Kingery had that big bases clearing double,
right,
and won that game 5-2. But last night, he saw Velasquez didn't have it through three innings. Pulled him, and the bullpen went six innings and got that win last night.
Yeah.
Tonight, okay, Nola doesn't have it.
Right.
And, you know, which is a shocker. I guess we can kind of give him a little bit of mulligan, even though it's the stretch we can't. But he's pitched so well over the last 3 months.
Exactly.
But he did the right thing here. He knew that Nola didn't have it, and I knew it when he walked Trevor Bauer in the second inning, that inning was going to lead into that. He pulls him and he puts Morrison up there, who gets you your first two runs on a two-run shot.
Uh-huh.
Now, here you go with Realmuto. We're down 5-4. We're back in this ball game now.
Right.
So, at least we're making some of the right decisions in the last couple nights. But they're doing it against the Reds.
Their schedule
the rest of the way is, I believe, the toughest in baseball.
Yeah.
That's probably the reason why they're 5% to make the playoffs.
Well, but do you believe that we play up and down to our competition? Because if it's as tough as they say it is, I give us a better than average chance to have a pretty decent record coming out of this.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it, we played down to the competition for the most part. This is like the first time we really kicking some ass of a team we're supposed to. But then, like, we go and we play everybody else, and we play up to their competition.
Yeah, I mean,
kind of like the Boston
game. We've seen that in so many sports throughout the years.
Yeah.
Where a team raises their level up and then they drop it down. I mean, for the love of God, if they were 9-7 against the Marlins this year instead of 7-9, we would be tied with the Cubs right now for the wild card lead for the second spot.
Yeah.
So. You know, and you look at the rest of the division, I think the rest of the division is 11-36 combined against the Marlins. If you look at the Braves, the Nationals, and the Mets, they handle their business against inferior competition.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Phillies have lacked to do. I mean, we've seen it against the Padres, the Pirates. Well, not so much the Pirates. We took four out of six against those guys. But you know, the Pirates or the Padres. You know, we've had a couple bad series, and it's just like, how does this happen? And then they come out, and then just when you think you're out, they rope you back in.
Right, and I think that's what happened with the 12-3 game. Well, they were supposed to kick their ass, and then they come out with dominance, and they're playing like we thought they should have been playing all season.
Yes.
And haven't seen those games.
Yeah, my whole thing with it is, I'm a reference it as y'all. St. Louis, what's up? But the only issue I see is they have to get past 4-game win streak.
Yeah.
More than anything else.
Yeah.
I believe all the top teams that are in the hunt have – at least had 5 to 6-game win streak. We're only talking about 25 games left in the season?
Not even.
Okay, yeah. So that's even worse. So at some point in time, they're going to have to show up and actually show that they can do it, because if they can't get to that.
They don't have the starting pitching to do so. That's the problem. They just don't have the firepower.
And you're correct to a certain extent on that point, because sometimes the guys come out and they give them some quality innings, but if you know that your pitcher sucks ass and he comes out, he gives you some quality innings, you have to give him some runs to give him some confidence to stay out there.
I'm loving this. We're
not doing that.
And I'm loving this because when we first talked about Bryce Harper, everyone on this panel killed me. I give you a pass, Quimby. You wasn't here. Rex, you wasn't here either. And Chris didn't call in. But between
Chris did call in.
And Rob, between Mike Diaz, mm-hmm. Rob Vivalis, and
I
said, you need pitching. Everybody was like, we need offense. And my main thing was pitching. And I was like, well, who's your ace? They said Aaron Nola. I said, okay, after that, who you have?
Exactly.
And the whole panel was just, you know, dumbfounded on what I was saying. Not saying, hey, I'm right, but I just felt like you need pitching.
FYI, I said last year, the only two people I kept on this team were Aaron Nola and Rhys Hoskins. And you can throw the rest in a trash bag.
Back up the truck. Back up the truck.
That's it. Back up the
too
truck.
Too high. Too high.
Yeah. Are they going to make it? No, they'll blow it in the night.
But
yeah. Wow, dang, you suck!
but Chris, it's one of those things where he's managed the last 2 or 3 games. He's actually managed decently. What the hell was that? What the hell was that up in the middle of the season?
All season?
Yeah.
All season.
The first 125 games?
Yeah. What was that? What was that then? It was like, I don't know. I don't get him.
Oh, I think we keep on. I look at it like this. He signed a 3-year contract. This is year 2. They collapsed last September. If they have another one this September, I keep on saying they shouldn't bring him back.
Right.
And I'm steadfast on that, but I know I pissed off Quimby the other day when I posted that link on his Facebook wall about how Klintak loves Kapler. He said, "I love Cap."
Sound like fire them both. Right there, sound like a boy band to me.
Well, like I think if Kapler's going to get fired, it's coming from the highest seat in the building. It's coming from John Middleton. Yeah. Well, it's not going to come from Klintak. It's not going to come from McPhail. It's going to come from Middleton. Like, you have to make a change at the manager position, or I'm going to have to change the whole hierarchy. Okay. And they will live to see another manager, you know, at the controls of this team. Klintak and McPhail will survive. Okay, I don't think Kapler can sustain.
I got a question for you, Chris. So with all that being said, with everything with Gabe, like with me, I was kind of critical of him with being upset about small ball. And with this conversation and us talking about it, it's like, okay, well, you really can't afford to play small ball, because if you get a 1-run lead, then, you know, of course it's not safe. I mean, we've seen 7- and 8-run leads by the Phillies unfortunately get dwindled away, and, you know, and more than not, they lose the game. So my question
I don't think everybody wants to see them play small ball all along. I think sometimes small ball or playing it simple and getting runners on base tend to put the pitcher in a situation where he's not comfortable.
Yeah.
Where he's going to have a guy on base or a couple guys on base, and he's going to have to go to the stretch. He's not going to be in his windup.
Right.
And for a starting pitcher, that's not a spot where they want to be. They want to be in the windup. They want to be in control. When there's runners on base, it tends to put a little bit of a different dynamic in their head. So my whole thing all along, when I've been saying small ball, trust me, I want home runs just like the rest of you guys.
Right, right.
But I'm not saying that the singles, get a runner on base, then get the next guy on base, right, and then make it simple. Then you can try and hit the 3-run shot, because he's not going to want to put something over the plate enough to where you're, you know, he doesn't want to walk another guy and put another guy on base and load the bases. He's going to give you something to hit. So get yourself in the favorable accounts and put the ball in play. That's all that matters. Don't strike out. Don't pop up. Put the ball in play. And that's all they need to do. Get on base and things will happen. I think, look, Charlie has really hammered in since he's taken over. If you look at the offensive numbers since he took over as the hitting coach.
That's a great thing.
Yes.
Yeah, that is interesting. Chris, anything else? We're going to wind this segment down, brother.
No, not at all, but I did hear that you did question if I was going to be there or not on Tuesday.
Yes.
I will be there with bells on, brother. Love I will you. Be in the house.
Awesome sauce.
Excellent. That's all good right, to hear. Chris, yeah.
Look forward to seeing you.
All right. Hey, brother.
Absolutely, guys.
Plan on talking some big sports, too, you know, like the important ones when you come on Tuesday.
Yeah, football. Go read a book or something.
Yeah. Go Wikipedia, Americano football. And
go to get you a Webster dictionary and look up I Am a Man.
Or just watch it. So just go watch me to give me something. You'll be all right.
Oh, I can't believe you just went there. I'll
show you guys the pictures of the boys when the whole family is dressed up in our Eagles gear ready to rock by 1 o'clock on Sunday. We'll be ready.
Nice. All right, brother. Hey, man, good talking to you once again. Everybody, our official Phillies correspondent, Chris Sack, getting ready to be our official Flyers correspondent for 6 long months.
Can't wait to see you guys on Tuesday. Have a great night, guys.
All right, have a good one.
Good night, Chris.
Yeah, I almost wish. You know what the problem is now with our Phillies segment? It's just the same conversation,
right? And this is
every week,
and because you expect more from what he did, but then also it's kind of like what Pop said about the pitching. He was the only one tooting that horn, and
Chris did mention something earlier in the season.
Yeah, but we were talking about
in the off season
before. No, I know, yeah. But when it seemed as though. The Phillies might have thought about bashing their way to a World Series. Mm-hmm. And then we just found out that bats aren't consistent enough. Right. And
it's one thing that'll kill all of this. Had they still been playing like Charlie said, they could have bashed their way too. You have that type of lineup. But
there's more wins on this team than what is on the scorecard.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's the frustration. Yeah.
His approach, it doesn't work for what we got because a lot of guys he's complicated baseball for a lot of guys. And if you see it, you're not so.
I literally look and I'm like, what in the ever loving fuck are you doing?
You know, the one thing that you should have known was when he said that he drove the pitcher into a high pitch count. It's like, yeah, but he struck out. he didn't get on base.
Yeah,
he's like, but he drove to a high pitch count. That means nothing in this game we call life.
You know what? The only time that matters is in the first two innings.
Don't matter.
No, it does. I am fine. I am fine. If you can get through the first two innings and you got your starting pitcher up to 50 pitches and you don't have anything to show for it, I am okay with that because that starter is going to be out in fifth.
Right.
Yeah.
He's going to be gone. Right. And they're going to wind up going to a long bullpen. You never know if there's tired arms. Right. You never know who's available. You never know who's rested. Yeah. I'm fine with that. Get the starter out of the game.
Right.
Yeah.
The reason why guys are in a bullpen is because they're not as good as starters.
Yeah. Right.
Sorry. Hey, he's found himself a nice spot in the bullpen. You're right. Because he's not a fucking starter. Because he doesn't pitch well.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I'm okay with that. You can give me a blank. You can give me a goose egg through the first two innings. And if you got 50 pitches up on him, I'll take it all day long. Now, that's not what I prefer.
Okay. Oh, no, I know what you're saying. But that's the problem. The problem is that what the pitchers know that. So the first pitch or two is a strike, and they got us behind the eight ball. So by the second inning, he's only throwing like 16 or 17
pitches.
Tell
you what, that's the only thing about Odubel that was sometimes nice to watch. Because he swung first pitch every time.
That's right, baby.
Unfortunately, pitchers also know that dumbass swings at the first pitch every time.
Yeah.
Hey, breaking ball. And all of a sudden it runs up in the dirt.
And he looks really bad swinging at it too. You know, it's kind of like when you give it hit somebody and they move.
With all and your you're might. You're swinging in air.
All your might. You fucking throw your back
your
out.
Your shoulder pops out. I've done that with a golf club a few times. Trust me, it's not fun. Anyway, I got some quick Green Legion trip updates, and then we're going to take a quick break. Everybody, we did find a secondary solution for our Green Bay tailgate. The premium one is sold out. However, the outside area where our premium tailgaters are going to be able to go does have some space available. We had 50 spots open up there. The week of the game, if in fact the weather report looks good, then we'll be able to open it up entirely. We sold about 10 of those spots already, so there's probably only 40 left. If you guys want to get on right now and get on a great tailgate in Green Bay that'll still have all Green Legion members that are coming out. They're going to be all over the place. The premium is upstairs in a private area, but they can walk outside whenever they want. And it's half the price. Half the price of the original tailgate. So if you guys want to do that, make sure you do so. Atlanta, Saturday afternoon, official party release. B-52, Carlos Emmons Club in Buckhead. We are going to have a Pitt Penn State watch party with Mr.
Awesome
Hollis
sauce.
Thomas.
Awesome sauce.
And Mr. Carlos Emmons. Takeo Spikes is not available for this party right now. We thought we'd be able to get him there. Doesn't seem like it. He's currently on a pilgrimage looking for his neck. But who knows? Maybe we could convince a couple other people to come around. There is a tremendously popular Eagles diva that lives down there now.
Yeah.
And maybe Hollis can get his ass over.
Yeah, I'm going to snatch him up.
Yeah, please. But we at this point in time, it is Carlos Emmons and Hollis Thomas, two integral parts of one of the best defenses this team has ever seen. So if you guys want to come out and check those guys out, take your pictures, get some autographs, get drunk, watch Pitt Penn State. Understand, Green Legion clients get first priority through the door. After that, Atlanta Delphia members and Smyrna Delphia fan club members get first admittance in the door. There's only space for 500 to 600 people from 11 a.m. till 12 p.m. Only those three groups are allowed in the door. Afterwards, if there is space, we will open it up. But understand that this is a semi-private party with the doors opening up for those three groups at 11 a.m. At 12, if there's some space, absolutely. Love to have you. But we do want to make sure that we take care of our clients first. And then the two fan clubs that have been absolute pivotal parts of what we do, especially in that area. So we're excited about that.
All right.
And we just eclipsed 1,460 people today on Miami, which is 60 more than last week. And that's the kind of pace that I am looking for every week. Things are shaping up.
Sweet.
And we are kind of excited. So, everybody, we are going to take our first break and a little tribute to Shoeless. You guys, we'll all right, we are back on Green Legion Radio. During the break, an absolute cult movie that you have to watch. If you haven't done it, for God's sake, yeah, just do it. From the beginning, you have to watch it, Sex Drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. We played that last week. We can't go into it again, but it is great. And either one of you can be both of those guys.
Pretty much, yeah.
But Sex Drive, you have to watch it. It's an excellent cast. Hysterical. Watch it. I can't tell you. Seth Green is in it. Seth Green kind of makes that movie, too.
Yeah.
As an Amish guy.
He's always funny.
Yeah. But
then the Stifler type.
And the reason I bring it up is because when they when their car breaks down in PA.
Yep. Lancaster.
And they get to the farm and Rumspringer's taking place. And Fallout Boy's bus breaks down. Fallout Boy was playing I Don't Care, the song that we just came in from break. So it's awesome. Boys, let's get to some football. What do you say?
Yes.
Again, this is the O-line stigma O-line body stigma episode. We're having a tough time with Facebook Live right now, but again, we are all naked here in studio.
I'm feeling pretty good, though.
I'm sorry. I'm feeling kind of inadequate. I'm not going to lie. I might need Pops' glasses at this point.
These are a prescription, by the way.
Anything will help, brother. Anything will help at this point. But
some of this you really can't unsee.
Some of these belly buttons, bro. I don't know. I might be able to vacation in for a couple days, including mine. Now that I'm looking at it. All right. Around the league first, and then we're going to get to our position week, which is going to be the O-line.
Yeah. Okay. Sweet.
Seems appropriate, right? Yeah.
Yes, because it's cut the game coming up.
All right. Talk about two different running backs and two different owners and two different, oh, my God, did you not see this coming? Zeke and Gordon.
Right.
Jones versus Spanos.
Right.
Okay, first of all, I have gained some intimate knowledge of working with particular teams and owners over the years.
Okay.
There are certain teams out there who are absolutely amazing to work with.
Exactly. Good to hear. Okay.
There are teams out there that are absolute fucking jerk-off dickwads.
Yep. And you can equate that to the front office also.
Oh, 100%. Now, I will tell you right now, because I have no fear, I don't care. All right? Fact is, every single one of those that I say are jerk-offs, I have publicly told them, you're a bunch of fucking jerk-offs.
So they already, I mean, they knew, but you confirmed.
I will tell you this right now, everybody. You're not going to want to hear it. It's gonna send a chill down your Philadelphia Eagle fan spine. Best organization we have ever worked with on a consistent basis, Dallas Cowboys.
Because he wants that.
Dallas, he wants that. He wants that paper.
It makes sense for the both of them.
And he's a businessman, and that's why when this came up, what we were about to talk about came about, I knew he was going to be the first one to do it. The thing that I was, we almost had a show on text message with Diaz because he tried to bring somebody in who had already taken the franchise tag. He already took the franchise tag, so he already had $16 million in the bank. That's why the second time he set out, don't do it in your last year, your rookie contract. You have no leverage.
None
whatsoever. Melvin Gordon, he was hurt his first year. He was hurt his second year.
And he also averaged 3.9 yards a carry this past year.
Exactly. So it's one of those things where you kind of got to be real about the situation.
And your gauge.
Yeah.
And your gauge. Okay. Yeah. Jerry Jones.
Yes.
Actually has money.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Spanos.
Yeah.
That is the cheapest nickel-rubbing millionaire, billionaire I have ever seen in my entire. Let's pose all the different things I'm talking about here. Mm-hmm. You left a 68,000-person stadium for an 18,000-person stadium.
And couldn't fill it.
Man.
And the only time you have filled it is when we played you.
Exactly. I love to be as an accountant. Oh, I cheat him. Oh, I would cheat him so bad. I'm Rick James. Oh, I would love to be as
the only sellout that place has ever had.
Yep.
Was when we were there 2 years ago.
Yep.
And I have to tell you something, that was hysterical.
Yeah. You know what was awesome? Was I was watching it. That was the one I was watching on TV. And it seemed like a home game for us.
Oh, yeah, it was.
I'm looking at the crowd. I was like, I don't see a lot of blue or yellow.
Who was announcing that game? One of the best. Jesus. Zach, who was announcing that game? Text me. I know you know this.
I can't remember because I tend to tune them out sometimes because I'd be yelling at the TV. Sorry.
They didn't do anything to cultivate the fan base when they moved up there because they also moved up there
prematurely. They don't have a fan base. He completely ostracized his existing fan base.
Yeah.
And they don't have a fan base up there.
And to help
nothing.
To help them out, they did this in 1968 for a year. Yeah. Did you know that? They moved to LA for a year and moved back. See, they had a fan base in San Diego, But it's like you were filling out. You were a mediocre team and sometimes a horrible team, and you were still packing the damn stadium. You went move to L.A. Nobody's going to watch you if you suck in L.A.
Exactly.
So,
they're not going to watch them with them winning. The Rams still wasn't.
You realize they can go get tofu.
They will go to a local.
There's
go to
so
a
many
game.
Better things you can do than watch football.
Yeah. Like go watch the women?
Lakers. I think it was Lakers and Dodgers.
Was it Dick Stockton?
It was
Stockton.
Yes, yeah. Dick Stockton. He used to do the.
And he was giving credit.
Yeah.
To Eagles fans.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, my God. They are here, and they are here in force.
Because I remember one of the comments was like, is this an Eagles home game?
Yep.
It was pretty cool, though. It was like, and that's what I love about the fans here. It's like, but also with what you're going with the owners and the management, Jerry just went through this with Emmitt.
Oh yeah,
he went through this ordeal before where he tried to play the biggest.
He doesn't want to play all his cards.
Yeah,
but it's part of the game.
Yeah. I mean, but he also did this too because he didn't want to lose. He didn't want to lose him like he lost Ware when he, you know, lost Ware. He already mentioned that too.
Well, but he also said like at the beginning, like during the whole ordeal, he said that everybody will be signed that he wants.
Wow, that
to
is
signed.
One cute ball girl.
No, he's slightly massive. It's a chubby kid.
That's Cecil Fielder.
Yeah, you might need the glasses, brother.
Pops, let me get those, baby.
But to what you're saying, that you have to learn how to play your cards right.
Get out!
Awesome sauce.
Guess who?
Hi, game.
The guy he continues to take out of the lineup, Jay Bruce.
Jay Bruce. Well, he just got healthy. He just got healthy. He got healthy. They sent Hazley down, but then they found out something else was wrong with him, so they had to bring Hazley back up. He hadn't got on the plane yet.
Really?
It was weird. I'm glad he's healthy, though.
He looks like Jim Thome a little bit.
He does look. Oh, my God.
He's a little thick.
Great observation. He is a little thick.
Yeah, he is a little thick.
PB stands
I don't know if any of the four of us here on this panel can actually say that right now with a straight face.
I kind of abstain from saying it. It's kind of like
outfield, though, right? He plays in the outfield?
Yeah.
He played
in the outfield.
Yeah, but I mean, but he got the build of a first baseman.
He does.
I'm not trying to be funny or anything, but, you know, either that or a catcher.
Well, I'm sure he's faster than Pat Burrell.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. And we got stuck with that in left field for how many years?
A decade? He's decent in left field, though, yeah.
So.
But.
Yeah. So what do you think is going to happen with Gordon?
I think, given the Chargers, what the Chargers do, they're not really going to worry about it.
No, they're going to care.
Yeah, because he's under contract.
Not going to care.
Yeah. But he's
going to wind up reporting.
He better, because they're finding the crap out of him right now.
And then not only that, he got back running backs. It's not like in Dallas where you got rookie running backs looking to replace Zeke. I mean, Zeke, okay, he's the top one of the top three.
It's
Melvin Gordon, he's okay, but you got other guys behind him that can do the same thing when you have somebody like Phillip Rivers throwing the ball 45 to 50 times a game.
You're right. Rex, something about leadership.
Supposedly the Eagles had an offer out for him and they didn't accept
it.
See that. So they are really sandbagging him.
Really.
Yeah,
they
was Howard and like a third round pick that they offered.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want Melvin.
Who?
The running back is a Howard.
Running back Howard.
They, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are they okay? So we have a few other things we want to talk about besides and before we get into specifically the Eagles, but we're gonna table that because it seems as though right now Sanders is your starting running back.
He's probably gonna be at some point this season. It depends on how Howard flows. Just trust me. It depends on how Howard flows. Because
are they not happy with Howard right now?
They haven't seen him playing live action. That's what I'm thinking. And I think she's gonna show and prove. To me, I like the kid, and I know he has.
He's a baller, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's a beast too.
He's only behind two running backs in the NFL since he's been in the NFL, and that's Gurley and Ezekiel. Yeah. So it's one of those things where Melvin Gordon. If Melvin Gordon was Howard, then I could see what he's talking about. But you're not either one of those guys. You're not even close. And you're often hurt. And he had some of the most horrific injuries known to man. And then I was surprised that he was holding out, because you have absolutely no leverage. You're still under contract,
and it's your rookie contract.
Exactly. Yeah. I can see it after
your rookie contract.
Right.
All right. Yeah. Now you're taking care of yourself. You're trying to get your payday.
Right. Trying to get your payday. Yeah. But this is one thing where Zeke had leverage. Zeke, like Zeke, no, if I ain't there, he saw he had when he got those suspensions and he saw what they were without him, that was his leverage.
Right.
And then he played,
right.
He went out to play good this year, and so he's like, I need you to do better.
Yes.
So, yeah. But Melvin Gordon is like, yeah, it's Melvin Gordon. He doesn't have the same pedigree as Zeke.
Do we want to talk about a topic that, yeah, that he brought up?
Which one? About the
Rexy?
About Rexy?
About four quarterbacks in Oakland?
I think that's stupid.
Why is it four quarterbacks?
I don't even know who they are.
Who the quarterbacks are?
The last guy he signed was DeShone Kizer, which why would you even want him on your team?
Yeah, he recently just got cut or released from something.
He claimed him on waivers.
Yeah, he got cleaned.
So who are the other three? Because I think he thinks he could do something with DeShone Kizer.
Really?
Because he knows the guy who was fired from last year at Green Bay, because DeShone Kizer was at Green Bay.
He got Derek Carr, Mike Glennon, DeShone Kizer, and Nathan Peterman.
The safety
Nathan
went to
Peterman
Cleveland.
And Mike Glennon, they're gonna cut. Peterman is the guy who was first started through five picks.
Yeah,
and then Mike Glennon has been shipped around. He's been paid the last few years like a motherfucker.
He's been passed around like a joint. At a
yeah, but he's been getting paid.
He's passed around.
Pops on fire again.
Wow. Yeah.
So but when you look at it, Mike,
you're getting autonomy to speak more and more every week, sir.
So you know I know Mike Glennon is gone and Nathan Peterman, because Nathan Peterman he's been stinging up the joint since Buffalo.
And if that happened, I mean, this is 2 days ago,
right?
This is after the 53-man roster was solidified.
Yes. Yeah, but they haven't found anybody to take those who they covered to take those roster spots.
So that's we got Mike Glennon, Nathan Peterman. Kizer
and the starter.
There's something going on with Carr. Nathan Peterman.
Is Carr still? He's just okay.
Yeah, he's just okay.
He has great hair too.
Yeah, him and his brother. Yeah, both of them have great hair.
Oh yeah, I want to run my fingers through that.
I don't know about that, but
I don't know if I want to say that while I'm naked though.
Yeah,
especially in front of you guys.
No. Yeah.
Don't do anything to me, okay? No. Please.
Good things.
You're good.
It's a circle of trust.
To me, it's about what is John Gruden fucking thinking?
Exactly.
Does anybody know what John Gruden is ever thinking? Chucky
or the GM? I can't think of the GM's name right now. He's a former Todd McShay. What's his name? What's the GM Pops?
Mark Mayock.
Mike Mayock. What the hell is Mike Mayock thinking?
First of all, Mike Mayock, I have.
You know him, don't you?
I know his daughter.
Oh.
Very well.
Awkward.
In those jeans.
Looking is there good. Any more?
Moving right along.
Is though very tight, very scrumptious.
I wish I was ready for this.
But Soulja Boy, what in the heck is that dance?
Oh, Soulja Boy?
You!
Soulja Boy, tell me. Hey, I got this new damn for y'all called the Soulja Boy.
Yeah, it is weird. That whole thing in Oakland is weird. Because you don't like Cooper because he's humble, but then you go get Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah, you talking about A.B. Aaron Brown.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah,
because you heard his latest thing. I think he got fined today.
Hate my helmet.
For missing practice. And so he puts out even my own team hating on me.
Everybody hates you.
Yeah, he missed practice and got fined for it.
He's one of the most selfish people out there.
Exactly.
On that note, real quick, while we're talking around the league, does anybody think that Pittsburgh will do anything this year? I think Cleveland's going to have a better record than them. I think Baltimore is certainly going to have a better record.
You know why they're not? Well, Cleveland, I know why they're not, because they let go of Greg Williams. They cut the head off the snake and the body still survived. He was the defense coordinator. He's a killer. He's with the Jets now.
And Cleveland plays too sloppy.
Yeah, thank you. That part too. And I don't know if you checked out the linebacker, the Devin Bush for the Steelers. He was hitting anything that moved.
Yes.
The referee stopped moving at some point in one game they was playing. He was out there destroying people. Yeah, and see, when you did that type of play from a rookie.
WrestleMania 3 at the Silverdome in Pontiac, Michigan. It's a day that I'm certain my guests at this time will not forget. I'm talking about the former Intercontinental Champion of the World, Macho Man Randy Savage.
Nothing means nothing. Nothing means nothing.
Nothing means nothing. What do you mean by that?
Boy, I'm talking about all the way to the top, yeah. Unjustifiably in a position that I'd rather not be. But the cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah. Macho Madness, he has got more to offer than President Jack Tunney thinks that I got. Yeah, and let me tell you something right now. Cards stacked against the Macho Man Randy Savage in WrestleMania 3. Yeah, let me say it. Yeah, let me say it out loud. And let me point to the president of the World Wrestling Federation that the Macho Man Randy Savage is not happy with your decision. Yeah, I am the cream in the World Wrestling Federation.
Wait, there is no doubt about it.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Wait a minute, though, Randy. I've got to ask you very seriously. Do you blame Mr. Jack Tunney, the distinguished president of the World Wrestling Federation, for Ricky Steamboat being the Intercontinental Champion today?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Outside interference, yeah. In my moment of glory. Yeah, no, I'm living in a nightmare. And I am the cream. And now, not only the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship belt must fall, but the World Heavyweight Championship belt. Because Hulk Hogan, yeah, I am the cream. Yeah, the cream of the crop. And there is no one that does it better than the Macho Man Randy Savage. On balance, off balance, doesn't matter. I'm better than you are, yeah. And I'm talking to everyone in the Wrestling Federation. And I'm even talking to President Jack Tunney, yeah. I'm on my way. And nothing is going to stop me. Nothing's going to stop me.
You know, just out of curiosity, Randy, and I certainly don't want to diminish your tremendous God-given talents, but I'm very curious. I haven't seen Elizabeth lately.
Yeah, she's on the outside of the ring. Does she interfere in matches? Yeah. Nothing, zero, yeah. Pure athlete, yeah. And I've been, maligned from the top to the bottom. And because I can't handle the Macho Man Randy Savage, the cream of the crop, nobody does it better.
That sounds like a monologue for a porno. Like, what the heck?
I'm sorry. That was one of the greatest, greatest interviews of all time. For those of you who don't remember, he's talking cream of the crop. He's got a little coffee dairy creamer.
Yeah.
And he keeps throwing it in Gene's face, putting it in his lapel, putting it on top of his head. When he said balance or off balance, he put it on top of his head like he was trying to balance it like a diva. And it immediately fell off. And he's like, balance, no balance. It doesn't matter. Oh, God. Love that guy. So
may he rest in peace.
Yeah, yeah. Please, in every way. You know what? Let's do this.
What's
this?
Real
fast. First of all, this is a prelude to the Eagles game. We're going to talk about this real quick, and we're going to take a one-song break. Okay. We're going to come back, talk all Eagles, and finish up. We're a little bit
over.
A little bit
off track.
Keeping in mind, we don't start till 8:05 after Thunderstruck is done.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're not an hour into it yet, but in all fairness, I want another shot, and I don't want to wait until in case we get off on a tangent, which we've been known to do.
I think I should go get my drinking shirt.
Trent Williams.
Trent Williams, what about him?
Is he starting?
No, he hasn't been in camp.
Yeah, he
hasn't reported because of
still hasn't reported.
Well, I remember because he was pissed off with the medical staff for misdiagnosing the cancerous tumor that was in his head. There was a lump in his head, and they said it was just a lump, and he went and got a second opinion, which a lot of guys don't realize that you have
can
that
do.
Option. Yeah, you have the option to do because but the medical staff often feel like you're going behind their back, and it's like kind of like, fuck you. I kind of need to see what's wrong with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And they misdiagnosed a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they told him just put some Robitussin on it.
They signed a guy
rub some dirt on it.
they signed a guy from Jacksonville.
Yeah. Got it. All right, well, you guys, we're going to take a one-song break. Tribute to summer coming to an end because I smell football. But we'll be back right after the Cars. If you guys have been paying attention or following us the last couple weeks, we've been actually highlighting focusing on specific positions within the Eagles. Last week we did the quarterback position. The week before we did
defensive line,
which is that was a good one. Yeah. We're going to get to that here in a second. We're also going to talk a few more elements. I will tell you right now, I'm the first person that hates a 10-point favorite at home on opening day.
Yeah. Yep.
Which means the one bet that I want to make this week, I can't make because I can't bet against them.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Are you going to take the points?
I'm not taking shit.
Okay.
Yeah, leave it alone.
I am going to enjoy the game and not worry about whether or not I got a nickel or dime on it.
That'd be good.
I didn't know you had that resistance.
Oh, no. It means I'm going to waste it on some other stupid pick. Don't worry.
Now that you mentioned that, are we going to do a pick'em segment amongst us?
I just work here.
You didn't let me get to it, baby. What do you think I was doing?
Just making sure.
Okay. He's got it all figured out.
Oh, yeah. And the best part is Diaz starts off 0-15. 0-16. Excuse me. 0-16. 0-16. Yeah. 0-16. I don't like that line. I hate that line.
Right.
Don't like it. Don't want it. Don't like it. Don't trust them. All right. You get some there, Captain Captain Kirk. Does anybody else? In all fairness, the Redskins on paper suck.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Some of them, their front seven are formidable on our defense.
They got rid of two of their linebackers. Mason Foster and the guy that's there.
Yeah, remember Zach Brown? Yeah, they always have backups though. They were playing when those guys were hurt. So it's pretty much like Alabama U. It's front seven years.
Okay. Is there any reason why we shouldn't blow the doors off of them?
No, there's no reason.
If we overlook them.
No. You got a mediocre.
I don't think you can. I don't know if you overlook the first game of the season.
You never overlook the first game because it's the beginning of the season, and you don't know how.
And in all fairness, I don't know if Atlanta scares you.
Atlanta doesn't scare you, but if we don't take care of our business this week, then Atlanta scares me.
You're right.
Yeah. If we come out and screw the pooch this week, if we come out not clicking on all cylinders, and our defense comes out sputtering slightly, or our defense comes out and they're giving up the rhythm, but our offense is still going, it's going to be one of those things where you're going to be a little leery, and some things are going to have to be done.
I think the offense might sputter.
Well, I mean, nobody's played together any amount of snaps in the preseason, and I get that's where the NFL is going. Right. And in all fairness, I'm okay with it. You know, how many times has your season ended before it even started?
Gotcha. Well, how many times has your season ended when it started?
This is also so true.
It kind of don't matter when it happens. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But the thing that I think people are missing is in order to play this game, you have to prepare. You have to it's not always the quarterbacks and the receivers and stuff. The guys in the interior, it's a fucking drive killer.
Yeah.
And the steps that the D lineman and the O lineman make and they get down and they get back routine to, it's only going to come in live action. The main reason it's coming in live action is because you have the referees there to stop you when you mess up, to jump out when you jump off sides or when you're holding. They're there to stop you to let you know that's what you did wrong. And if you don't have that, all you're doing is practicing. Nobody's there to throw a flag on you. You know, it's no consequences if you hold anybody in practice.
Right.
It's like you have to get that mindset going, or we're going to be looking at. Get hot garbage the first three or four weeks of the season.
Rexy, you look like you have something to say.
No, I was going to say, like, when the guys play together, they learn how to pick up the double teams, the read packages, looking at the blitzes and all these other things, and you don't get – I don't think you get that in practice.
Oh, my God. This is the first time I've heard of Brian Conroy previous football knowledge. Hi, welcome to the show, sir.
I'll go back to security now.
Okay. I've been waiting for some of this. What did you play?
I gotta go.
Offensive line.
You were an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
All right. Through high school or through college?
I played a little bit in college, but yeah, through high school. All right. And a little bit of D-line.
How big were you your senior year of high school?
225.
Big for a high school lineman.
375.
Did he just quote your government name, though? You don't have any warrants or anything. Do you?
No. Make sure. They've all been cleared up. Pops, and I'd ask you to keep it quiet from now on.
You are not allowed to be on this show anymore without a shot of Jameson to start off.
All right, I got you.
To what you're saying, to what we're saying, I don't have any reservations about what the offense clicking. It's the guys up front because they haven't had that. Everybody's always talking about practice, but nobody's trying to whoop your ass. Nobody's trying to destroy you.
Other than Seumalo.
Right.
All right. Because Wisniewski was in that slot last year.
Right.
I mean, this offensive line has played a lot of snaps together.
Yeah, but it's what you know, they had a whole offseason, though. And it
doesn't matter.
I understand what you're saying. That doesn't matter. I'm just telling you what it is. It's like you don't get back up to speed and you don't hit the ground running like you're supposed to. And
that Chip Kelly offense.
Well, not that.
Oh, yeah, but there were a lot of eyebrows raised during that statement.
I know because they hit the ground running, but it was like they still didn't touch anybody, so they didn't really prepare themselves for football. And I'm not talking about killing anybody, but you need some live action versus people that don't give a fuck about you.
Right.
And that's all right, I'm saying. It's like all their practice stuff, I'm trying to make the team. I'm not finna hit the quarterback. I'm not finna go back there and destroy the running back. I'm gonna kill the starting guard, but I'm not gonna destroy him. I'm not gonna take his ego because that's my teammate. I need him to play.
Right.
That's all.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
I think also that they have played a lot of snaps together, but they played as a mixed group and they also have new running backs.
Is that a racial statement?
Not really. It's just like
multicultural.
No, I meant like they've had.
We know what you meant. Just keep rolling, man.
How many combinations of the starting lineup have they had in the O-line?
Quick getting nervous, man.
Anyway, come on, Eddie. The other thing is they have different running backs to block for this time, so that those guys run differently.
Break the hole.
So yeah.
Hey, no, hold on. Offensive lineman mentality right there. Yeah. Maybe. I'm sorry. If I'm an O lineman, I'm taking my assignment and I'm letting the other guy do the work. It's up to Sanders. It's up to Howard. It's up to Clement. It's up to Sproles. It's up to whoever's getting a hold of that ball to find that hole and hit it.
Yeah, and just as long as you don't have
a... Speaking of that, did I tell you about last night?
Yes!
Crank that soldier boy! From that.
You! Now, the thing is Rex is what...
Crank back three times from left to right. Soldier boy, I'm in it. Why me crank it? Why me roll? Why me crank that soldier boy? That's Superman.
Now, the only thing that they don't have to have, Rex, is reverse. They can't have reverse. You don't want the offensive lineman in your lap as a running back. And so that's what the other team is probably going to try to do. They're probably going to try to cover the three guys in the middle because normally the center is your weakest link because he's the smallest. And, you know, so the guys, the continuity part, I understand because they've only been playing in waves. So it might take a little bit. Go ahead.
On that. So we're talking about the offensive line already.
Right.
Let's talk about what's slated now, because there's a couple surprises here for me.
Big time. And I know who they are.
Yeah. All right. First of all,
tell me your biggest surprise.
Mulata. Exactly. Backing up Lane Johnson.
Exactly.
According to Dave Spadaro, our friend from the Eagles on the inside, when he was here, he said that Jordan was still a project and they weren't seeing what they wanted to see out of him. But that was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he's done since then, but now you're backing up your Hall of your Pro Bowl right tackle.
Yeah, but that's a different side than backing up Jason Peters.
I understand that.
I understand that, which is
even a bigger surprise.
Go ahead, I'll tell you when you get finished.
Wait.
because it's just – go ahead, Mike, silence.
Every one of you are muted, except Rex, who doesn't say anything.
So technically he is muted.
Technically. All right, so Jason Peters.
Yeah.
What do we expect out of Peters? Because let's be honest, last year was not his best year. It wasn't bad,
right?
But if you were analyzing the film, you definitely saw him lose a step. Now, is that first year coming off an Achilles? Or is it the fact that he's 36 years old?
For me, it seemed like he came along as the season went on. Because if you remember, of course, they were all struggling. And it might attribute to what Rex was saying earlier about the cohesion that they need as a unit. He got stronger as the year went on because you remember Khalil Mack was on a tear. He did not breathe on Nick Foles during that game. And he admitted himself that he got his ass whipped in that playoff game. So I think, to be honest with you, it's more or less a thing of the more he played, the better he got as the season went on.
Yeah, what I expect from him is I expect from a better season than last year. I think he feels like he has something to prove, and I know he has something to prove, but he's coming off of an injury.
He reworked his contract.
Yeah, he reworked his contract, but he's coming off of an injury. This year he's not coming off that injury. He had a chance to do a full
face. And if you didn't watch Segura just take one right in the face.
Right in the kisser.
Watch the replay.
He took a ball to the mouth. He's teabagging him.
That is the X-rated Major League Baseball teabag version right there.
Yeah. But when you look at JP's, the step he lost that everybody feels like he's lost, it was mainly because he's coming off an injury. And you're not really yourself that first year back from injury, i.e. Carson, i.e. Timmy Jernigan, and everybody else like that. That's why I'm expecting to see a lot of good things from, especially the guys I just mentioned.
Stick with Jason Peters.
Yeah, Jason Peters, I'm expecting to see a lot more from him because he'll be 2 years removed from the injury.
You know what I'm going to talk about?
Leadership.
You can't do
anything. Anyway, moving on.
That was cold.
Everybody, we know this. We know
his
this
experience.
Rex.
You can't erase.
You can't erase his experience. But here's the one thing that you wonder about this. All right, we have heard because we're going to go right to his slotted backup right now, which is their first round pick out of Washington, Dillard. All right, who everybody thinks is soft.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, the new guy.
You hear Andy Reid hires or signs Doug Peterson to mentor Donovan McNabb in his first year because Doug Peterson has experience and leadership capability.
Right.
Why is Peters not taking Dillard into the corner and beating the ever-lover snot out of him and saying, if you don't want this to happen to you on the field, hit back?
Well, because Stout guy's done it. I don't know if you noticed Stout, the offensive line coach. I call him Stout guy. What's Stout guy's full name?
I don't know.
Stoutland.
I have no idea.
The Stoutland is the offensive line coach.
Okay.
Because he's done. I don't know if you saw watched the play. He's gotten a lot better and he's gotten a lot tougher. And I think the thing was is they
did
took,
somebody come up to him and said, "Hey, cream puff."
Pretty much is what they did. Because
is there any reason why you, who has a media pass, right, didn't go out on that practice field at the NovaCare Center and hit him?
Well, because they probably would have escorted me off the field.
Perfect. Thanks for doing well for the city and appreciate your hall pass.
Stop and step out of the car, please, sir.
He's talented and athletic,
yeah,
but he got away with a lot in the Pac-12, whatever they call it now.
Exactly, yeah.
Stout
guy, I call him Stout guy. It's Jeff Stoutland.
If he played in the SEC or another place that's more physical play from the defensive lineman, he would have probably been even better coming out of the draft.
Yeah,
he's getting better.
Yeah, but a lot of teams still wanted him because he's not a total project because he has a nastiness and he has the athletic.
He has a nastiness.
Yes, he has a nastiness.
Now he has a nastiness.
Somebody
get it out?
Yeah, because
somebody stick a red hot poker up his ass.
Some of the defensive linemen was trying to make sport of him and he stuck up for himself.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, he fought. He was fighting, really fighting.
Oh.
That's what I was trying to tell you. They kind of.
This is the stuff we haven't heard.
Okay.
Last we spoke about Andre Dillard,
he was tender.
He was tender.
Yeah,
we were all making fun of him.
Yeah, he was a big pudding. But what they do on occasion when they have a person in a position who they feel like they want to see their nasty streak, they go to the people who practice against them the most, or practice against them the most, and they say, kick his ass. I mean, really, kick his ass.
Yeah,
I don't give a damn what you have to do. Whoop his ass. Make him hate you. It's like do all the extra stuff. All the extra stuff, and nobody's going to say anything to you. Do all the extra stuff and see what happens. Then you saw what happened.
Yeah.
He kicked a little ass.
Yeah.
They got it out of him. I do like him now.
So you like the blind side right now?
Yeah, I like the blind side now.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's move on. We're going right down the line.
Okay.
All right. At left tackle, Sayamalu.
Yeah.
That's your slot.
Left guard.
Huh?
Left guard, right?
What is? Oh, sorry. Guard.
Yeah.
Woo! Have another Quim. Left guard, Sayamalu.
Yes.
How do you feel? Ooh. I think that's your weak link.
Yeah.
Unknown.
Good, Pops. Good, Pops. Good, because Pops was the offensive lineman. Hit him.
Yeah, I think it's more.
Did you have to move?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, other than get out of the 3-point stand.
Oh, yeah. I get down. Offensive tackle and guard. Hey, Chaney, for a minute.
Know.
Yeah. It didn't last long, but it was enough.
All right.
Yeah, but, he's been playing pretty inconsistent. So until we see something from him towards it's like, okay, he's fine where he's at.
Continue. I don't know what Rex. Oh, what are you doing?
He just stole that guy a home run.
He just stole a home run.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it was like that brief silence.
We're not supposed to interrupt.
Did we get a wall?
Yeah, Hastings got the wall. At the wall.
Yeah.
He picked it right off the top of the fucking wall.
Just in case you guys all wondered, we are not within being distracted from the show, especially when apparently what just took place
was the home run.
Was a taken homer.
Oh!
See?
Yeah.
Shizer, boom, Shizer.
Woo! Now you got to win that game.
Yes.
Now you have to win this game.
That's momentum right there. Yes. Do something about it.
Look at that.
Do fucking something about it.
Holy shit.
In the first row.
Yes. That might have been the best I have seen in a long time. You had to time that and jump.
Yeah, you see
Yo.
This?
Bo Jackson.
White boy got ups.
Bo Jackson asked.
You see the show?
Right there. White boy got ups.
Did he ever?
Holy shit. Sorry, Pop.
Go ahead, Pop. Guard. Offensive guard, Sayamalu. What you think?
I don't know yet. It's still out on him. He hasn't been real consistent.
Right.
What do you think about his backup, which is even scarier?
Who's the backup? Who's the backup?
Pryor.
Why did they let Wisniewski go?
I kill that two birds with one stone. Well, okay. Wisniewski, he went out to see what he got out there. What was out there for free agency? Was nothing out there for him. When he came back, you know, I don't know if he was dejected enough, but he wasn't himself. He kind of stuck up the joint this past preseason. A few false starts, a few holding calls. He just wasn't himself. He didn't have the same tenacity.
So he was his own worst enemy.
Yes,
he was
much.
Lit.
Yeah, he was. It was horrible.
Everybody know that song?
My own worst enemy. My own worst enemy. I know. Oh, you're a crazy bitch, but you're good.
That's Buck Cherry.
I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Deepest apologies. The backstory was when he was thinking up the joint. Pryor, even though if Pryor, they will have to go into the game and they will have to talk to Pryor about his pre-snap penalties. If he gets rid of his pre-snap penalties, he's an awesome guard. But you can't have false starts and illegal formations all through. Those are drive killers, and it's like
it's undisciplined.
Yeah, that's why he's really second string to me. Because I feel like he's got the size, the power, and the ability to pass block, and also move the crowd.
Okay.
And but I think with giving his can't get rightness, because he's the only player on the team that had at least two penalties in every preseason game, this year and last year, and they were offside.
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying, bro.
false starts and holding, false starts and holding. But that's what's up with him, though.
All right. So that's the one side we're concerned about.
Yeah.
I'm not too concerned about this side. I have one surprise, and I think it's just the same surprise you have that he's back.
Who?
Brooks.
Well, we're gonna get to that in a second.
Okay. We had to jump
Kelsey. Around.
Okay.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Kelsey will be Kelsey.
Yeah.
It will be Kelsey.
Herbig. Who?
The backup.
Oh yeah, I like him.
Do you?
He's a big dog.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a big. He's a good. But you got something to say about him? Because I had a moment when I knew he was a big dog.
No, I don't. I don't know too much about him.
Yeah, he's a decent. He was coming out of college. He was an offensive tackle first.
Oh, okay.
And they don't switch your position unless you're decent like that. So he's been moved to another position.
He's from Hawaii. He is a big son of a
exactly.
bitch.
Exactly. A man. That there's a man. But he's you know when I started liking
even
him?
His photo, he hold.
So he was playing
334.
Yeah, so he was playing in
334.
Yeah,
as a center,
takes up a lot of space.
Exactly.
Man.
So when
Kelsey might go 285 soaking wet,
290 soaking wet.
Yeah, but they got him listed here as a backup to Brooks.
No,
yeah,
Vitae's
backup to Brooks.
That's on the left side.
No, Vatsak kicked. They kicked Vatsak
on the right side.
But Brooks on the right side.
Usually, the backup center is a guard center.
Yeah, but on
the guy he used to play.
Let's be honest, guard. Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Interchangeable.
Yeah, but it's so it's like what you guys saying? When I said I knew he was going to be a man, it was one of the preseason games where he had to play the whole game. And towards the end of the game, you saw him stand up and do the big dog, put your hands on your hips, and take that deep breath, and the steam came off his head. It's like, that's a big dog.
All right.
Because he's not afraid to let everybody know, yeah, I'm tired, but I'm out here to kick your ass.
All right. All right.
Because he just continued to kick ass. But I fell in love with him, and I feel like he's a good backup. So.
Well, let's go on to Brooks
okay.
and Vitae. Okay. All right. Okay. Vitae, we know, has been inconsistent.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah,
you're right. So this might be a better move for him.
Yeah, it is.
All right. In my personal humble opinion, with every bit of football knowledge that I like to think I have, which is decent but limited.
Okay. You've been to a lot of games. Don't worry about it. Continue.
I
don't shortchange.
You know,
this,
no, you know. You know what? There was a time where all I wanted to do was break down film.
Right.
Okay.
And that was the Michael Vick years.
Right.
Yeah.
And I found myself being more annoyed trying to watch it than I would just be grabbing a fucking a pounder and a shot of whatever I can find and watching the game and trying to bang out the chick that I brought to the game.
That's the dream.
And I can't even tell you the level of stress that this gave me. Yeah. But with my limited football knowledge, and I don't want to say it's completely limited, but go ahead.
Just lead out with your stayed at Holiday Inn. That you know that'll work.
What?
No, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Oh, I got you.
I think the most important. Oh boy! There you go.
Couldn't
pull that one out.
Two runs.
I know.
Your biggest variable,
okay.
The most important player on the field for the Eagles this year, in my opinion, 100% is Brandon Brooks.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the main reason why is because he's the best blocker, best pass blocker, and run blocker.
100%.
Yeah.
He's the best offensive lineman.
Yes.
Period.
Right.
Now. If he's not 90% of the player he was
85-90
last year,
right?
All right, that's a problem,
right?
That's a problem,
exactly.
All right, I honestly think you're right, Hollis. You hit the nail on the head. He's the best all around offensive lineman that we have, and that's a big statement when your bookends are Jason Peters and Lane Johnson.
Correct.
Right.
That's a big statement, man. It's huge.
And
that just means that is just an absolute exclamatory point on Brandon Brooks' career and his he is just good, man.
Yeah. Okay. And it also, you know, the other thing it does, it helps Kelsey out because Kelsey doesn't have to worry about
it. It helps everybody.
If Kelsey's not right, then the whole thing goes.
We all know.
We've seen the Kelsey meltdown.
Well, the meltdown is mainly because he has to tell somebody else what to fucking do and also have to tell her. It's like he barks out the call, but then there's one guy who he has to bark out the call to and then pull him to the side and pretty much pull out a fucking chalkboard and tell him where to go.
Now,
it's like when you got that, and because you know you want to do it because you want to do good, and you know the offense is not going to move unless you do it.
Right.
But when you do it so much, you forget about your own responsibilities. You forget to call a blitz call, or forget to pick up a blitz, or forget where you're supposed to go. Then it causes a problem. That's why every line coach that I've ever talked to, whether it's defensive or offensive line, he says always know your stuff.
Right.
Know your stuff and know what the guys next to you are supposed to be doing also, so you know what you're able to do.
Your center's your shot caller.
Exactly.
Your center's your middle linebacker on offense. Even though the quarterback's calling a play, the center has to know what every single person's assignment is.
Right. And also the center and the quarterback have to be on the same damn page.
100%.
It's because it's like, 100%. You know, and we were talking about I'm going to wrap this up here with one last thing.
Please. We don't want to say wrap up while all of us are naked.
with Josh McCown leaned down and helped out Kelsey on a blitz pickup. It lets me know how fast he picks up opposing teams' offenses and what they're supposed to do. Because he hadn't been here a whole damn week, and he was able to call up that blitz. He slid the line perfectly and was able to get the ball off.
Yeah. So. All right. Well,
what do they call it again?
Here, and I guess here our concern.
Yeah.
On that side, is if Brandon Brooks isn't
able to go.
Yeah.
Then we're looking at Vitae.
Vitae's been doing good though.
I'm still.
I love Brandon Brooks, and I'd rather have Brandon Brooks, but I'm still not uncomfortable with Vitae being in there because it's a phone booth. It's not all that space.
You're right.
It's funny.
A phone booth. That's
yeah. It's so funny because
it's a lane.
Yeah.
Next to a lane.
Exactly. So it's like, and I think Jason Kelce is. They've had enough continuity to where Jason Kelce will not worry about him like he would with a guy who's new, right. Totally new.
Right. Let's move on to the ever important second most important position on offensive line. Obviously, Lane Johnson. Hey, brother, obviously, you didn't need the PEDs. All right? You're doing well, baby. Thanks. I'm shocked. I'm shocked that Mulata is slotted as the backup right tackle right now. And you think about it, he is two steps away from being your starting blindside tackle.
Well, I've learned listening to pro offensive line coaches and stuff, the left side is totally different from the right side.
100%.
And
you don't want to put him on that left side.
You don't want to put him on the left side.
A guy that never played anything.
Right. And I think what ended up happening was
truck.
I know, but I think what ended up happening was he got to the right side and things started to make sense to him. And he started to get comfortable. The stances are what made him comfortable. And he was able to process things a lot better. And so it's like coming from the left side. Left side is slightly weird. Oh, dear
he
Lord.
He has great hair, too.
Yes, he does. But the playing on the left side, everything's like totally different. It is the whole opposite side of the body. So you kind of got to – as a rookie, you can't have a side. You play both sides is what I was told as a rookie. It's like, yeah, when I went in to substitute, I said, which side do I play? He said, whatever side the veteran doesn't want to play, you play it. So I had to play left-hand right defensive tackle.
Have you guys heard the clip of Jordan Mulata pass blocking?
No.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, it's awesome.
No. Clear. you know
he's
that,
a truck.
You know me and there was a when we I wish we had the film from when we used to one-on-one pass rush especially in training camp. Because all the guys would sit back there, and when a guy ran up to the offensive lineman and had his chest open like that, and the offensive lineman jabbed in his chest, all you heard was, clear! You got a man down! It's a man down!
Nice.
or somebody gets thrown up, he's like, they told you no Air Force Ones or white tees in here. But, yeah.
On that note.
Yeah.
In all fairness to me, it sounds like our offensive line is, and everything we're discussing, are first world problems compared to the rest of the league.
Exactly, yes.
We are dug in on both sides of the trench.
Yeah.
I have to commend Howie on this one too. To be able to afford and collect the amount of talent that you have on both sides of the trench is impressive.
Yeah, it is
pretty good.
It's hard to do because when you look at all the championship caliber teams, the best thing on every one of those teams is the defensive and offensive line.
100%.
They lead the team.
100%. 100%. I think we still have to get through picks. That's going to be. Interesting. I think we should take one more break. At this point, everybody's with us or you're not. You're with us or you're not,
you're
baby.
You're with us or you're against us.
And you know what? We're just upping the minutes that it takes for us to get from the 50s and break the 50s. So we're going to take one more song break. We're going to come back. Predictions for this Sunday. Picks for every game from all four of us.
Yeah.
And without Diaz, fuck it. And then we're going to get it off our chest to make a little bit of money. We will be back on Green Legion Radio right after this. All right, back on Green Legion Radio. And one of the reasons why we took that break was because everybody had to piss. Unfortunately, only three of the four are back right now. Boys, let's talk about this real fast.
All right.
Pops, predictions for Sunday. Okay. Eagles game, and then we're going to get into everything else.
Okay. Eagles. We're going straight up, right?
I want to know a score. I want to know if there's going to be a beatdown. I want to know what's up.
I think it's going to be closer than what we expect. So I would say probably Eagles by 7, 24-17.
All right. I like it.
Reason being is because we didn't really mention that Smallwood is actually in Washington.
Wendell?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
When did that happen?
Tuesday or Wednesday?
I mean, not today, paying attention not today, at Monday all.
Or Monday or Tuesday.
So we cut him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That could be a little angriness, huh?
Not necessarily angriness, but he knows the system.
He does.
He's been here the whole time.
They also have to have an offensive line that's going to block for him.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't think they
leadership too, right?
Yeah. But, you know, you figure the first half might be a little rusty. But, you know, they got Case Keenum as quarterback. We know how that goes.
Sexy.
Yes.
Hold on. First of all, Case Keenum can light it up. Yeah, we know that.
He really lit it up in Minnesota, right?
Denver wasn't so good. But
not at all.
Yeah, they weren't bad.
Everything come out okay, baby?
Yeah, everything's good.
Good. All right. Rexy. Beat down. What? Where are we?
I think 24-10. Mm-hmm. Eagles.
24-10. Defense stepping up. What do you think?
Eagles, he got a 24-10. I think it's going to be 24-17.
24-17?
Yeah, that's what Pop
said. I think it's a field goal win on the last play and possession of the game by the Eagles.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And Jake Elliott, who missed two during the game, under 40 yards, comes in and bangs a 52-yarder.
Yeah, he's goal from there.
What the fuck?
It has to be more than 50 for him to be good.
And the Eagles decide to keep two place kickers on the roster this year. All right. Boys, competition.
Okay.
All right.
I don't want to ask anybody to put up their own money because, well, it'd be impossible to collect anyway. So we are starting the $500 Green Legion Radio.
Uh-oh.
Host Pick 'em contest.
All right.
Cool.
$500 to whoever gets this. I'll get Diaz and Sachs picks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're going to have Rob. Maybe we get Rob in on this one, too. We'll see. I don't feel like logging seven fucking people every week.
Okay.
So let's just start. We're going to go through this. We're going to go through it fast. I want to be done in 15 minutes. And
cool.
That includes, getting off your chest and your money-making segment.
Got you covered.
So, the order I have is Diaz, Q, Hollis, Pops, Rex. Mm-hmm. We're going to start Q, Hollis, Pops, Rex, and then go Hollis, Pops, Rex, Q, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So nobody gets influenced. All right?
Gotcha.
So, Green Bay Packers, Chicago Bears. This is no points. I'm taking Chicago. Hollis.
Taking Green Bay.
Pops.
Are they in Green Bay?
It's in Chicago.
Give me Green Bay.
Rex.
Chicago.
Hold on.
They giving you this?
We're not allowed to look at the spread.
I was just seeing if Sack could do it.
Did they take some?
Atlanta Falcons at Minnesota Vikings. Hollis.
At Minnesota?
Yep.
I'm going to go to Atlanta. Kirk Cousins sucks.
Pops.
Atlanta.
Rexy.
Atlanta.
I'm going with Minnesota just because all of you took Atlanta.
Okay.
All right, hold on. Sack is in. Sack goes Green Bay. All right. Sack, give us your Vikings-Falcons pick when you get that. Ravens at Dolphins. Pops.
Ravens.
Rexy.
Ravens.
I'm going with the Dolphins. Hollis.
That's what I was going with the Dolphins, because it's at the Dolphins, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Sacks taking Atlanta. All right, Rexy. Bills, Jets.
Ouch.
That was quite an awesome sentiment. I already knew who I'm going with.
No. At Jets, Jets.
Rexy taking the Jets. God, I don't even know. Le'Veon Bell, Jets. House.
Jets. Greg Williams, Jets.
Pops. Jets.
Remember what I told you?
I'm trying not to. I'm still looking at you naked.
Oh, don't go into the line.
Carol Ann. Chiefs at Jaguars.
Mm.
Wow. Mm.
That's a good one.
Actually, that's a really good one. You want to think automatically Chiefs, and I don't.
Mm-mm.
I don't. I'm Mm-mm. going with the Jags. Going Jags. Hollis.
I don't like Andy, but I kind of got to go with the Chiefs on that. Right. It's
Pops.
For the game.
Give me the Jags.
Oh, boy. Rexy.
Jags.
Yeah. Sackmaster, what do you got? He's been keeping up. And Sack says.
Survey says.
Sack is taking too long to type.
Show me Chiefs. Potato salad.
Chiefs.
I think it's going to be hot and humid.
Show me potato salad.
Rams at Panthers. Mm. Hollis.
At the Panthers?
Yeah.
Let me go with the Panthers on that situation, right. Yeah. Long trip.
Pops.
Panthers.
Rex.
Rams.
I'm going with the Rams, too. Two girlies, one cup.
Well done.
Thank you, sir. I'm not going to be able to take credit for that. That was Tony Palmer's line and his team name for our fantasy football league. Panthers by Sack. Pops. Titans at Browns.
Ooh.
That's another one.
I know that's another
one. Yeah, it's another Bills Jets.
Yeah.
Titans.
Titans. Rexy.
Browns.
I'm going Browns as well. Hollis?
I'm a Titan.
You are a Titan.
Thank you. Good things.
You're welcome, sir. Browns. Sack goes Browns. Redskins, Eagles. We're going across the board. Eagles. We don't even have to worry about it.
Yep.
E-A-G-L-E. And if Diaz was here, we'd have the S. Bengals, Seahawks. Ugh.
Where's that? Bengals at Seahawks?
Seattle, yeah.
Seahawks.
I'm sorry. Rexy.
Seattle.
Me, Seattle. Yeah, Hollis.
Home open to Seattle, yeah.
Pops.
Seattle.
All right, Chris, you're behind the eight ball. Quit taking so long. Colts and Chargers. No luck in Indy.
Whose turn is it, mine?
It is.
Well, I'm going to.
No, it's mine.
Okay.
I'm still going with the Chargers, Philip Rivers. Go ahead.
Me?
Yeah.
Colts.
Pops.
Let's go Chargers.
Rexy.
Chargers.
Hey, that was a good.
Hollis. What's up? Detroit Lions at Arizona Cardinals.
Oh,
wow.
That's a tough one.
Third
here, isn't
toilet
it?
Bowl.
What are you, Detroit? Or are
you? The second team is always the home team.
No, what'd you say? Detroit at
Detroit at Arizona.
Oh, shit. This is a far.
Come on.
Go with Detroit. Detroit.
D. Yeah. All right. Pops.
Detroit.
Rex.
Detroit.
My boy Galladay's up there.
All right. Sack said Detroit, too. I'm going with Arizona just because the rest of you idiots said Detroit.
Man, there's a new coach there. No, he looks like the...
Giants and Cowboys. Pops.
Woo! Give me the Cowboys.
Yeah. Big C. Rexy.
Dallas.
Sack. Good. I'm going Cowboys, too.
Giants. I hate the Cowboys. We'll never pick the Cowboys.
We'll never pick the Giants.
We always hate Dallas, but... God, they're our number one competition.
All right, Pops.
The Giants brought me another visit.
49ers at Buccaneers.
49ers.
Another one.
49ers, baby.
Pops. 49. Rexy.
That was pretty easy.
San Fran.
49ers.
I think that's where I'm going to lose.
I'm going with Bucks just because you guys are.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to. House.
Bucks.
Bucket.
The quarterback whisperer.
Bucket.
What a bunch of losers.
Bucks. Bucks for sack.
You just picked the 49ers because you're a fan.
Oh, you are sexy, by the way. Steelers at Patriots.
Ooh.
Rexy.
Wow, this is a tough one. At Patriots, Patriots.
I'm just putting Patriots down.
I think the Steelers are going to be 8-8.
Texans at Saints. This is an interesting one.
Texans at Saints?
Yep.
Is it me? Am I first? You just looked up.
I don't remember.
I just say, I'm taking the Saints.
All right, you're taking the Saints.
Yeah, they're in disarray.
Pops.
Saints.
Rex.
Best home team there is, Saints.
Sack taking.
Damn it, Sack.
Sack takes the Steelers in the upset. And yeah, you'll also be taking your Metamucil tomorrow morning.
And you Metamucil.
I'm going with the Texans.
I like
just because everybody else took the Saints. Broncos at Raiders, the second Monday night game.
It's always a good, horrible game.
Oh, it is a good,
Broncos,
horrible game.
Broncos and Raiders are always involved.
Pops, awful. First.
That's going to be an awful game.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, the Raiders.
Four quarterbacks isn't going to help another touchdown. Pass.
Pops? Raiders.
Raiders?
Yeah.
Rex?
Broncos.
I'm going, oh, God, I hate both of them.
Yeah,
that's
right?
That should be a pick'em.
It's an awful game.
Yeah, that should
it's
be a pick'em.
Who's quarterbacking for the Broncos now?
Flacco.
Joe Flacco.
Wacko Flacco.
God, Raiders.
I'm going with the Broncos.
All right. Good.
Because I like the head coach of the Broncos.
And Sack takes, the Raiders.
tell them good things. I'll win this one with my hands down.
All right. House, give me three picks, baby.
Three picks. I'm going with baseball. I'm still in the race.
All right.
I'm currently 24-13. One of the son of bitches lost for me last week, so I couldn't go undefeated. So tomorrow, September the 5th, they got the Washington versus Atlanta. You take the over and you take Atlanta because I think Washington is still coming off that high of beating the Mets. I was going to pick our game, but given what just went down with us, I'm going to take us and I'm going to take the over Cincinnati Philly tomorrow.
Okay.
And then we
so
have,
they take the series.
Yeah. So they take the series.
There goes my Papa John.
San Fran versus St. Louis. I'm taking the over and I'm taking St. Louis. They're going to keep up in the lead in the Central.
Excellent.
So that's Atlanta over Washington and Philadelphia over Cincinnati. And we have St. Louis over San Francisco.
All right.
Those are my picks for next week.
Excellent. Keep track because I'm not.
I know.
Anybody have anything they want to get off their chest?
I'm good.
I can't wait. No, I'm just playing. Can't wait till Sunday. Actually, I can't wait till tomorrow. The kickoff. It's the kickoff for the 100th anniversary.
Green Bay, Chicago. It's I can't stand how certain stations like ESPN have their dick wrapped around Aaron Rodgers' dick.
Right.
Or their mouth wrapped around Aaron Rodgers' dick.
Yeah.
There's so many dicks in the room right now. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, just do nothing. Abstain.
Stain is not good either. I'm going to have to have every one of these chairs clean.
Yes.
But it's always a great matchup. NFC North, classic, 100-plus meeting, or 200-plus meetings with these two teams. Yeah, looking forward to it. Rexy?
I'm just waiting for the Eagles to take our mind off of how bad the Phillies are.
Yep, the Phillies, they will tear your heart out of your ass.
You just took my off my chest. Everybody, for the Tank, Rexy, Pops, Quimby, Sack, Robbie, and our missing compadre, Mike Diaz, who I didn't want to talk about at all tonight, and I didn't. We will see you next Tuesday at Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia, 6 p.m. TTP! Yes, sir!